This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen, and developments over the last just 24 hours with the president speaking to Vladimir Putin of Russia, and after his conversations a week or so ago with Ukrainian President Zelensky. And Paul, you said it looks like they'll talk today again.
Yes, they're going to. And as a result of overnight missile and drone attacks launched by Russia into Ukraine, several regions there. And then the Ukrainian forces responded with a drone attack on an oil depot in Russian territory. So Zelensky saying today, this morning, that he plans to speak with President Trump.
And we have an opportunity to speak with, and for those that don't know, we have a lot of Ukrainian-related people, either from immigrants before or directly. And joining us is the pastor of our Ukrainian church here, Jason Charon. Pastor, good morning.
Good morning. God bless you. Thank you for having me.
I think about the people of Ukraine in the last 3 years and how horrific this has been, and wanted to get your reaction to what has transpired in this process to try and at least broker a ceasefire and hopefully find a way to end this war.
Yeah, well, they're a resilient people. This has been going on for, 350 years, actually, and the last 3 years have been very intense, but they are resilient. They are, raising their kids, going to work, despite being a nation at war. And I've been there 3 times since the war started, and you don't see homelessness on their streets. You don't see graffiti. You see a can-do attitude, and their churches are full. So if that's not the sign of a victorious people, I don't know what is.
Pastor, what is at the root of this dispute that goes back over more than 3 centuries between Ukrainians and Russians?
Well, it's Russian imperialism, the desire to have empire, like the British had an empire and the French and Germans and other nations had overseas empires. Russia was never able to do that, so it conquered its neighbors. Slowly, since the 19th century, its subjected peoples have risen and said, like Poland and like Italy and other countries, we want to have our own nation. The other nations were more benevolent in allowing their subjected populations to achieve measures of independence, like Britain did with Australia or India or other countries. Malta, but Russia has steadfastly refused to do that. And lately, in the last 30 years, it's all about demographics. Russia is facing a demographic winter, and this war was predicted by Mark Stein back in 2005 that Russia cannot exist as an empire, much less as a country, unless it recoups surrounding populations by force.
So do you believe, Pastor, this is just a first step, but it's been, I'm sure from their standpoint, they thought this would be over in weeks initially, and here we are 3 years later, and countless men and women and innocent people killed. What is their end game now?
Well, that's, I think, their end game, first of all, is to save face. They need to get out of this as much as Ukrainians do. But they can't just press the stop button because they have almost 1 million casualties, and they have to show something for this slaughter. So their end game is really, get as much territory as they can before the forces of nature, you know, halt their advance.
Yep.
So I think it's just to get as much land before the war ends.
Yeah, Pastor Zelensky just spoke at a news conference in Helsinki a short time ago, and he urged President Trump and European leaders not to give too much to Putin without some security guarantees for his nation. Here's what he said.
For us, the red line is the recognition of Ukrainian occupied territories as Russian territories. We will not agree to that.
And your reaction, Pastor?
Yeah, he's absolutely right, because they've been dealing with this this war since 2014, and Russia has consistently used ceasefires, the Minsk agreements 1 and 2 and other agreements. They've consistently used ceasefires as pauses towards further war. We view ceasefires as steps towards peace. And every time Ukraine has been given promises with no meat, and this began in 94 when Ukraine gave up its nuclear weapons on American promises. And so at this point, the Ukrainians are right to say, okay, enough with promises. We need real security guarantees to stop the killing of our children and the raping of our women.
Pastor, a final thought, and that is, since you've been in country 3 times since the war started, what would you like Pittsburghers to know about the Ukraine and your people?
Yeah, don't listen to the disinformation and propaganda that's here in American press. Russia is trying to sway American public opinion through lots of disinformation, and to know that it's the most religious country left in Europe, and they are very much like Western Pennsylvanians. They live in the hills of Western Ukraine. They are miners. They're miners. They're farmers. They're artisans. They've never conquered their neighbors. They're a peaceful people, and this war came to them. So that's what I want people to know: is they're just like us. They're a religious people. And they're a peace-loving people, and they've been victimized. And to not believe, media campaigns that are trying to portray the Ukrainians as aggressors.
Pastor, we really appreciate your time and our thoughts and prayers with you and the Ukrainian people. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pastor Jason Charon, who has a Ukrainian Catholic church here in Pittsburgh, and interesting, Paul, to get his thoughts from someone who's been there.
You can tell it's close to his heart. I mean, he really knows his topic.
Yeah, and thanks for providing the update from Zelensky.
Yeah, I just saw that just a moment ago while we were talking with the pastor.
Here with what is trending,
yes,
T.
Yes, absolutely. Kennywood. When was the last time you've been to Kennywood? It's under new ownership now. So, I mean, does people talk?
2 summers ago.
2 summers ago? Really? I don't even think people even go to Kennywood.
They still go to Kennywood.
Kennywood. So what about flying? You like flying? Are you afraid of flying? 65, according to a new study, 65% of people are now afraid to fly. And I think I'm in one of the 65%.
Obviously, you're in the majority. That's yes. Because I think a lot of it, if it was a recent poll, just because of all... just in the last few months, what's transpired.
Yeah, but do you think, I mean, I look at it like, hey, you have to get there some kind of way, right? And you can't get everywhere by a car or a train, or so eventually you're going to have to fly sometime. But I've taken it on myself to be more secure and look around and make sure things are all good.
Some people,
you
though,
had your experience.
They have kind of a rule of thumb. If it's within 5-6 hours drive time, they'll drive. Because when you calculate the time you would leave your house to go through TSA, to wait at the airport, delays potentially, even a 1-hour flight, say, to Philadelphia, is it just easier to drive? In some cases, people would prefer that because they don't like to fly. But if you're going to California, Florida, go, baby.
Go, go, baby, go. And lastly, oh, goodness, Larry, Gene Hackman, $80 million will. Who does it go to? No one knows. He has 3 kids, but they weren't named as beneficiaries because his wife was named. She died before Gene, and now it's up in the air. People really need to think about things like this, and you don't, because people think it's morbid to think about preparing for days like this, but it's up in the air. $80 million.
And it all was supposed to go to his wife.
Correct.
And she died first.
Exactly.
This is a complicated matter for...
Yes, for a lot of people. But Larry, honestly, people really and truly don't think about these things. You go, you live your life and you never think this day would come. But $80 million, and now $80 million is up for grabs between the three of his children.
Maybe I'll get one of those emails that say, hey, Gene Hackman left you $80 million. All you have to do is give us all your wiring information to your bank.
Exactly. Right. It's trending with T.
Thanks,
T. Let you be the judge. Thank you.
To Myra Rush. Yesterday, just before 6, the splashdown of this long-awaited return of the two astronauts. There were two others with them, but they were expecting to come home. In the case of Butch and Sonny, we have the latest with CBS's Karen Waugh.
They're going to be spending a few days here at the Johnson Space Center at the crew quarters. The medical experts are going to check them out, make sure they're readjusting to this gravitational pull back here on the ground.
A Houston homecoming. Astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams reunited with loved ones hours after their return from a 286-day space odyssey.
Splashdown, Crew 9 back on Earth.
The SpaceX Dragon carrying Wilmore and Williams, along with Crew 9 Commander Nick Haig and Russian cosmonaut Alexander Gorbunov, splashed down off the coast of Tallahassee, Florida at just before 6 p.m. yesterday.
Some happy waves, smiles all around.
A pod of dolphins swam nearby as the recovery team pulled the capsule out of the water and later assisted the four crew members as they climbed out. In Williams' hometown in Massachusetts, residents gathered to root for her return.
We all kind of feel relieved that she's, like, safe.
Ignition. The two astronauts launched on the first human test flight of the Boeing Starliner in June of last year. But the vessel developed propulsion problems and, for safety reasons, returned to Earth without them, stretching their planned 8-day mission to 9 months. It was a SpaceX vessel that finally brought them home after it carried their replacements to the ISS.
And it shows the benefits of the commercial public private partnership that we have.
During their extended mission, Williams set a spacewalk record for women astronauts. NASA says she and Wilmore also conducted more than 150 experiments.
CBS's Karen Waugh. Butch and Sonny, I could see the movie coming, Aaron.
Oh, yeah. And it's in the works.
How about those dolphins? You saw the video now.
I did. It was just so sweet. They were just kind of surrounding.
Right. A
literally
pod of dolphins. If you didn't see it, search it. We'll post it too. When the capsule splashed down shortly after, the dolphins surrounded the capsule and kept coming to the surface.
Yeah, it was cute.
What's the meaning?
What
I don't
know.
What is the deeper meaning there?
They quite literally came to the surface, it looked like, just as they were getting ready to open the capsule.
By the way, trending with T, she mentioned Kennywood being sold. How about this? I've got a funny friend, and he sent me a whole list of things that might change at Kennywood. One of them is suggesting that maybe Mr. Rogers' neighborhood would be replaced by the Housewives of Dormont.
Oh, gosh.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with our anchorman, Paul Rasmussen. The last day of winter, so it's surprising that you see concerns about brush fires, of all things, in March in western Pennsylvania across the state, apparently. And we are honored to have with us Thomas Cook, who is the Pennsylvania State Fire Commissioner. Commissioner, welcome to KDK. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about with you, but let's start there. The increased risk of wildfires is pretty unusual for the month of March.
Yeah, but Pennsylvania is falling in line with what we're seeing across the rest of the nation, where with lack of rainfall, the underbrush is dry and ready to function as a tinderbox. So, you know, we're advising a higher level of caution, especially on what we call red days, where you have extreme dry and extreme dryness and high winds. So
what is the count right now? What is the status on wildfires and brush fires in Pennsylvania through this point in the year?
I honestly don't have a number in front of me this morning, but it is up from previous years. And we work very closely with our partners over in DCNR, the Conservation and Natural Resources as great partnership where we kind of attack the problem twofold.
And that said, we have heard recently, Commissioner, about some concerns of fire hydrants around the region not having enough pressure or water to support in case there was an incident outside of what we've seen, you know, dealing with house fires. What are you hearing about this subject?
So this is, it's actually probably, you know, I'll let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, right? It's actually a more common problem than people realize, especially in the older areas of the Commonwealth where the water system, you know, dates in some cases back to the late 1800s. And what happens is sediment builds up in these water mains and reduces the size of the orifice the water can flow through, which then reduces flow. You know, in some cases, that's what's going on. In other cases, you may have a water main that was put in for a residential neighborhood of single family homes, and then it's converted to multifamily homes. And, you know, so there's a lot of infrastructure problems that go into this. It's not just a simple, the system is broke.
Getting back to the wildfire question, is there an area in the Commonwealth that's more prone to this, or is there an area that is more prone as things stand right now?
I really don't have a great answer for you, Larry. It's, you know, it's pretty scattered across the Commonwealth at this point. And, you know, I don't believe I've seen the data show us any particular patterns over time.
We're with Pennsylvania State Fire Commissioner Thomas Cook, by the way, appointed by the governor and confirmed by the Senate. I understand that position, almost 40 years experience in this area. And that said, is there a way to begin to try to address the fire hydrant issue again?
So it starts with, you know, are we out inspecting, testing, and on some type of regular schedule, and where we identify problems, that those problems are pushed over to the water authority for resolution.
And while we have you, any other thing on your radar while we have a chance to hear from the state fire commissioner?
Sure. I mean, you know, this whole hydrant thing and wildfires, you know, they're two of many issues that the fire service in Pennsylvania is trying to come to grips with here. You know, we've got funding issues, we've got staffing issues, and there's no one size fits all solution that works everywhere in the Commonwealth. One of the things that we're working with Governor Shapiro on is part of his budget proposal for the 25-26 budget is a brand new $30 million funding stream to create a competitive grant so that, you know, we can start to address, and it's only a start to address the funding problems we're having in the fire service across Pennsylvania.
I am starting my newscasts each hour with a short story about the fire risk being elevated due to the dry and windy conditions. And the question that I have about that is at what point does a burn ban come into play?
So the way the laws are written in Pennsylvania, the county government is responsible for the burn bans. So it's up to the county to be tracking conditions within their geographic footprint. And then they decide when the risk is too high and can put a burn in place. The Commonwealth, either through DCNR or Parks and Rec, can, or the Game Commission, can put bans in place on state-owned property. But it is something, you know, obviously we work in consultation with the emergency management coordinators in the counties and try and determine when the threshold hits a point where we need the burn ban.
Commissioner, we really appreciate your time. Great information. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me on.
You got it. Pennsylvania's State Fire Commissioner Thomas Cook.
A man and a teen are in custody in connection with a burglary at Keystone Shooting Center Monday morning. It's a crime much like earlier gun store robberies, and many involve teens.
That's troubling. It just seems like there's no way anyone's able to stop it. So they just keep doing it because they're not getting caught, so they just get bolder and bolder.
And the question is, did they find maybe a repeat group of offenders in this scenario?
Yes, it appears that this is connected in some way because the MO's the same. People come up in a stolen car. One stays behind in the car while the others break in. They grab as much as they can as quickly as they can and then leave. A judge in the Dominican Republic, Larry, has ruled Tuesday Joshua Ribby is free to leave. And he also ordered authorities to release his passport. What could be the final chapter in this story?
And you just see the parents, if you have not, it just breaks your heart. But they would like a death declaration.
And then Hirschend, the company that owns Dollywood and several other amusement parks, is acquiring Kennywood. Now, a member of the family that once owned Kennywood thinks that this is going to be good.
So they definitely know what they're getting into. And you know, I think they'll definitely instill those values, continue to go forward and not lose that site of tradition.
Yeah, that's Pat Quinn.
And this company is based in Atlanta. And my buddy sent me suggested changes that might come under the new ownership.
Okay.
One would be riders must be as tall as Scarlett O'Hara. But I still love the old mill will become Pirate's Nightmare featuring an animatronic of Sid Bream.
That's, well, what a lovely memory, huh?
That's our top story.
Let's just draw that one out for a while.